This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Civil rights is a phrase that calls up images of protesters in the South and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. marching on Washington. At least it does in the United States. But what about other nations, especially ones that are part of the African diaspora? Are there parallels with America's civil rights movement, and have we influenced each other? For more, we've got Peter Takarambude. He directs the African Division of Human Rights Watch in New York City, and Keisha Khan Perry, Assistant Professor of Africana Studies and Anthropology at Brown University. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Keisha, let me start with you. Is it correct to use the term civil rights to describe Black activism outside of America?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. I think it is important to talk about Black civil rights when talking about South America, and in the case that I study in Brazil, primarily because Blacks in Brazil have focused on their rights to citizenship in the similar ways that Blacks in the U.S. have spoken about and have fought for rights to citizenship here. So I think in that sense, yes, it is correct to talk about civil rights.
We recently featured a documentary that talked about affirmative action and education in Brazil. Give us a little bit more of a sense of what's really going on there as people are assessing race now as opposed to how race was dealt with in the past.
Well, certainly, unlike popular perceptions of Brazil that there are no concrete definitions of Blackness, certainly the Black population have not just accepted, but have realized and have come to terms with not only with their Blackness throughout history, but certainly with their rights as Blacks to certain resources, to include education. I think that there's been much resistance to affirmative action programs in Brazil by reactionaries who believe that it's difficult to determine who is Black in Brazil. But for the Black population who recognize that they've been historically excluded from these institutions, they know that it is necessary to include quotas as part of state-sponsored equality efforts.
Peter, how does the issue of civil rights or even the definition of civil rights fit into what you do as Human Rights Watch?
Well, there's a tremendous overlap between what we do in terms of human rights protection and promotion, and the civil rights movement in terms of its central objectives, which were the desire, fight for freedom, for respect, for dignity, for economic and social rights, and more specifically, for the achievement, establishment of equality under the law, more concretely represented in equal rights legislation. In Africa today, where most of my work is centered, the continent is undergoing a major reconstruction of the political systems to achieve real freedom. The earlier pre-independence struggle.
Let me just ask you something, Peter. In the United States, a lot of people would associate, for example, South Africa with the civil rights movement, in part because there was a racial component to that. Many places on the continent have dealt with colonialism and race in that context. When do you call something civil rights? When do you call it human rights? Does the label matter to you?
The label doesn't matter to me. Obviously, the context might differ. You are right that because of the intensity of racial segregation in South Africa made it more akin to the context in the U.S. Because of the significant penetration of the racial minority in South Africa, which was not necessarily the case elsewhere in Africa. So the racial segregation part of the civil rights movement in Africa was not quite comparable to the American situation.
But, let me just bring in another participant, another voice here. We've got Gypsy Metellus, executive director for the Saint La Haitian Neighborhood Center in Miami, Florida. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Farai.
So we've just been talking a little bit about whether or not there's a difference between civil rights and human rights. Are the terms to you and the work that you do with Haitian Americans interchangeable or distinct?
I think that in the context of the United States, the terms mean the very same thing as they do for other communities of color, and in particular other blacks. But when we talk about human rights or civil rights in the context of Haiti, it's really fundamentally about basic human rights.
What's the work that you do specifically?
In the United States, the Haitian Neighborhood Center serves as a resource, referral, and advocacy center for immigrants who are whether very recent arrivals or who have been here for quite a while and don't quite know how to access certain services, certain benefits, opportunities, so on and so forth. And so we serve as a bridge to a number of community services. We also serve as an institution that strives to help folks integrate fully into this society, whether that's economically, politically, culturally, and otherwise.
Now, being Haitian American yourself, working on human rights, civil rights within the Haitian American context, maybe you can tell us a little bit about, either personally or with people who you know, what the difference in perception is from moving from Haiti to the U.S., how you view race, how you view your rights and your privileges.
Mm-hmm. I think that as someone who's grown up in the United States, who lives in the United States, and who is very much viewed in the same manner that other blacks in the United States are viewed. So when I think of civil rights, I think of the very same issues for which there have been endless struggles and for which there continues to be struggles today. Of course, civil rights for us in the United States might have to take on new interpretations today, because I think it's no longer about access to certain services, in the traditional sense of the civil rights movement. Today, I think the definition needs to be very broad, because there are a number of issues, new issues, whether they're around educational achievement, or whether they're around, who is incarcerated at a greater rate, and other kinds of issues that challenge us as black people in this country. So I think, here, my definition, I think, is on par with the definition that most, if not every other blacks in this country would relate to and would identify. Now, when you refer to civil rights in Haiti, I think that we have to set aside our definitions, or maybe agree on what that definition looks like for folks on the ground in Haiti. Right. And as I said earlier, I think that civil rights is essentially human rights. And human rights, again, is essentially basic rights, access to basic needs, basic services. Right. We're not talking about a country where the state has the means, the wherewithal, and the might to actually ensure that the basic needs of its citizens are met. Right. And in the Haitian context, we're talking about a state that doesn't have the means necessarily, that doesn't have all of the infrastructure, that doesn't have all of the institutions through which the people's needs might be met, through which people's quality of life might be improved, so on and so forth. So you're not talking about a state that's willfully neglecting a significant portion of its population, although there happens to be a bit of that going on too. But overwhelmingly, this is a state that's trying to establish itself, trying to strengthen itself, to consolidate its resources.
Let me just jump in. I want to reintroduce our topic. We are talking about social struggle outside of the American Civil Rights Movement, all part of our series on civil rights. This is NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea. We're just hearing from Gypsy Metellus, executive director for the Saint La Haitian Neighborhood Center in Miami, Florida, also talking to Peter Takarambude of the African Division of Human Rights Watch in New York City, and Keisha Khan Perry, assistant professor of Africana Studies and Anthropology at Brown University. So, Keisha Khan Perry, I'm going to turn back to you about Brazil. When you look at the research that you've done, do you think that Brazilians have looked at the civil rights struggle in the United States for guidance? And how does and doesn't it apply in Brazil?
I think certainly, historically, Brazil is part of the Black Diaspora Network, which is part of an always ongoing process of sharing information, particularly political information. So clearly, we need to understand Brazil as part of this context. Certainly, Brazil has been inspired by U.S. civil rights movement, particularly the discourse of civil rights, which they have also connected to, as the previous guests have stated, to human rights struggles in Brazil, particularly the focus on the struggle against the genocide of the mass genocide of blacks through police abuse, through land eviction, forced sterilization, that have also impacted black Brazilians. Also, the black civil rights movement in the U.S., such as even the Black Panther Party, has also impacted Brazilians and the way they wage politics today, particularly a focus on positive self-affirmation, a positive sense of self as black people, black pride, and so forth. So I do think that blacks have been inspired by the U.S. civil rights movement, and also even cultural movements, such as whether it be today hip-hop. The hip-hop movement in Brazil is quite strong, is quite political. It has impacted young men and women who are incarcerated and are also in urban communities, and certainly the language of citizenship that African Americans have focused on have impacted that Brazilians. But I do think it's important to focus on the fact that in similar ways that U.S. civil rights struggles have impacted Brazilian discourse, certainly Brazilians focus on achieving the goal of racial democracy has also impacted how African Americans themselves have thought about civil rights in this country. So I do think it's a two-way conversation that needs to be remembered. African Americans historically have looked to Brazil as a model of racial democracy, even when I do believe that racial democracy was being misunderstood in Brazil. Scholars like Du Bois and many others went to Brazil to see what was going on that was working. In the same way that UNESCO certainly went to Brazil to look to see what was working in Brazil that they could prevent another Holocaust from happening. So I do think that is a two-way dialogue.
Let me go to you, Peter. Can you give us a very specific example from one nation, since you work with many different nations, of where you see progress being made?
Well, South Africa itself, South Africa was dominated by a racial minority until 1994, when the country underwent a major transition, which was ushered by a non-racial majority-based constitution, which terminated the racial segregation which had pervaded South Africa's landscape, and made a major breakthrough in terms of equal rights protection. South Africa has, since 1994, consolidated its democracy. It has the most, one of the most liberal constitutions in the world.
But Peter, let me just jump in. Lucky Dube, internationally known reggae star, was killed in a carjacking, an apparent carjacking. Some people who look at South Africa say, yes, it's got this great constitution, but it still has so much inequality. People are not feeling the benefit of that. How would you address that?
Well, I think it would be inappropriate to pass judgment on South Africa's experience because of the possibility of the fact that a reggae star was killed by criminals. Yes, there are still people who have not fully benefited from the post-apartheid developments which have occurred, and a lot needs to be done in terms of access to basic services, education, health, water, electricity, housing, and so on. But nonetheless, it is quite clear that the government in South Africa has made tremendous strides. I think in the last few years, probably close to about 1 million people have been pulled out of poverty and are now moving into middle class lifestyle.
Gypsy, let me turn to you, the same question. I mean, in some ways you're dealing with two different constituencies, Haitian
Absolutely.
Americans and Haitians.
Absolutely.
Give me one success story.
Related to what? To a success locally?
How about here with Haitian Americans in the United States?
In terms of
something
I'm not sure I'm following your question.
Civil rights or human rights advance for the community in the U.S. or if you choose in Haiti?
Okay, I would imagine civil rights advance for Haitians and this in the U.S. context would be an issue that is critical, for Haitian immigrants, and that would be around immigrant rights and certain immigrant benefits. All right, I think that we have had to learn to articulate this issue and frame it, in the context of basic human rights. While there have been certain advances, there have been certain successes in the form of positive legislation that does in fact stabilize some Haitian immigrants. But there's a lot of work to be done still. Okay, and so if you look at the critical issue for Haitians in this country, and if you want to frame that critical issue in the context of a civil right issue, that would be, in my opinion, something that most people would agree with.
All right, Gypsy, we're going to have to end there. Thank you all. Gypsy Metellus is from the Haitian Neighborhood Center Saint-La in Miami, Florida, joined us from WLRN in Miami. We had Peter Takarambude of Human Rights Watch and Keisha Khan Perry, Assistant Professor of Africana Studies at Brown University, joined us from University Park, Pennsylvania. Next on News and Notes, the Red Sox rout the Rockies, and more from the sports world with our bloggers' roundtable, and It's Your Turn. We'll read from your letters.